Today, Shir's Masechta Brachos Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hey on the base, six lines from the bottom, Gufa. Says the Gemara, Gufa Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem and Zayis, if you drink, you eat Shem and Zayis, Mevarchen Lov, Bari Priyates. The halacha is that you make a Bari Priyates. Ask the Gemara, Hey Chidami, exactly what is the situation that we're referring to. Ilayim the Koshosile, if you're going to say that we're actually eating or drinking olive oil, ask the Gemara, Azuke Mazikla, that's something that actually causes harm. The Tanya, as the Brisa taught us, Hashayis Hashem Shel Truma, if somebody drinks oil of Truma, and we know that halacha is that if somebody drinks oil of Truma, if somebody drinks truma, a truma drink, and he's Yisrael, he has to pay a keren v'chaymish. What would be the halacha if Yisrael drank olive oil of truma? The halacha is mishalim se keren. Indeed, you have to pay the keren v'ed mishalim se chaymish, but you don't have to pay the additional chaymish that's always added on. But if you soch shem mishal truma, but if you smear yourself with the shemen of truma, then the halach is mishalim as a keren, mishalim as a chaymish. You have to play both the keren and the chaymish. And as the tzlach explains the gemara, if we wouldn't have the second part where we learned that if you smear yourself with shemen shel truma, you chayiv keren v'chaymish, we would say perhaps that olive oil that comes out of the fruit is not considered like the fruit itself. And since it's not considered like the fruit itself, the halacha that we just identified that applies if you eat truma produce doesn't apply. However, says the tzlach, by the Mishnah telling us that if you smear yourself with oil of truma, which the oil of truma is made for that purpose, you pay a keren v'chaymish, it's clearly indicative that a shemen is considered a full-fledged truma produce. Why, therefore, don't you pay the chaymish when you eat that shemen? It must be because drinking shemen is not considered a ma'isa achila. It's something that you don't do, you don't enjoy. And if something that you don't do, you don't make the bracha. Says the Gemara, at the kochalei they pass. It must be referring to a situation where you dip your bread into the oil. And if you drip your bread into oil, so you ask that's where you're having the olive oil. Ask the Gemara, but what is the circumstances? Ihachi, havle pas ikur v'hu tafel. If that's the case where the oil is where you're dipping your bread into the oil. So now we have a situation of ikur and tafel. The bread is the ikur and the oil is the tafel. For Tanan, and there's a Mishnah that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, that Zeh Klal, the rule is, kol she'ikur v'imay tfeila, whenever you have an ikur, the main food, and a tafel, the secondary food, the halach is mevarach el ikur, you'll make a bracha on the ikur, or paiter as a tfeila. It must be, says the Gemara, and therefore, certainly, you'll make a bracha on the bread, and you won't have to make a bracha on the oil. So that can't be the situation that we are referring to. It's interesting to point out, how do we look at ikur v'tafel? And we're going to begin by asking a question that we'll have to evaluate and analyze as we get deeper into our parak. He was saying that you're eating the oil and you want the oil, but you're dipping into the bread, dipping the bread into the oil, and the bread, the Gemara clearly calls the bread the ikur and the oil the tafel. But what would be the halacha if you really want to eat the oil, you want to consume the oil? There's no way of consuming oil, but so you put it on the bread. Does the bread still become the ikur, or is the bread still a tafel? For example, if you'll put a piece of fish on a cracker, a piece of herring on the cracker. So is the cracker the ikur? Or is the herring the ikur? You really want to eat the herring, Just you don't want to touch the herring with your fingers, so you have it on the cracker. So let's analyze. Ella, what happened one is, what we're talking about a situation, the kashasalai aidei enigrin. The situation is that they had some sort of a drink, which had a number of vegetables. It was primarily a beet soup. And in the beet soup, they also had olive oil. Domer Rabbi Bashmul. A nigrin mai de silka. A nigrin is cooked beets, borscht. A kesigrin, there was a different type of a drink, which was mai de kulishalka. It's made of many different cooked vegetables. Says the Gemara, and we have the olive oil in that a nigrin. Ask the Gemara, and can have like a nigra. We go back to our original issue. The nigrin is what you're primarily consuming. The shem and tuffel. And as we just quoted the Mishnah from Daf Mem Dalit, the Zah Klal Kol Shu Iker V'Imoy Tfela, whenever you have an Iker and a tuffel, the Loch is Mavarach Al Iker, so you make the Brocha on the beets, U'paites a Tfela. So why should there again be a question about the olive oil? Answers the Gemara, Hocha B'mayiskinen B'choyshin B'groinoy. Where somebody has a sore throat, and when they had, in those days, when you had a sore throat, olive oil was the remedy, the tanya, and they put in olive oil into their nigrin. And here we have a very fundamental machloikis apoiskim. So in other words, because I'm putting the olive oil into the nigrin, because that's how I'm going to cure my sore throat, the olive oil becomes the ikar. But the question now is, how does the olive oil become the ikar? There are shitas that hold that as long as your main goal is to consume the olive oil, that's why you should make the bracha of the olive oil, even though if the olive oil is not the main ingredient. However, it seems that there are many achroinim who are of the opinion that it's not enough that you want to consume the olive oil because of your sore throat. The olive oil must be the main ingredient in the mixture. The Tanya, as indeed we learned, hachoshish begroinoi, if somebody has a sore throat, and we know what halacha is, that on Shabbos, one may not take a medicine unless he's a chayil sheyesh by sakana. He's very ill. Why? Because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in Masechta Shabbos, Chazal taught us not to take medicine on Shabbos because of schikas samamonim. They were concerned that if you're going to take a medicine, you may come to manufacture the medicine, which involves melocha deraisa in its manufacture. So says the Braisa, HaChoshish B'groinoi, if somebody has a sore throat, Lo Yirena B'Shem B'Tchila B'Shabbos, he may not gargle with oil, because if you gargle with oil, it's obvious that you're taking it as a medicine. Avonois Hashem and Harbel Toich Nigrin, you put much oil. So from here it seems that for it to be the Iker, it's not enough that that should be your goal. It has to be that you have to have a lot of oil to make it the ikar. And you swallow it. You're allowed to swallow it in a normal fashion. The example that's always given is if somebody has a cold and he's eating chicken soup on Shabbos because that's the remedy for his cold. So the halacha is that you may take that. We may take that chicken soup and eat it. You're eating it because you have a cold. To the person seeing, it looks like you're eating chicken soup, and that's why it's fine. Here too, you're eating the beet soup, and it's fine. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, where the shemen is the ikar, of course the bracha is boire prio eitz. What's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara, ma'aretai mekiven dul refuah kamechaven. This person, by taking this shemen, what is his main intent, as we have been learning? His main intent is to take it because that's how he's going to cure his sore throat. And therefore we would think, le'livrach ala klal, we shouldn't make a brach on it. Kamash mlon, kima de'islam hanomine, since you have hanor from it, by bruchi. So the two halachas that came out from this Gemara. One is that it seems that on pure oil, it's not considered something that's meant to be eaten. And therefore, says the Shas of Tshuva Stivri Chaim, Chelik Beis Simen Nun Beis, it may not be considered a food. Where would it be very relevant? And of course, I'm not paskening here la'aloch l'maisa. If somebody needs to take, very common, fish oil for a refuah, and the fish oil comes from a fish, and the oil comes from a fish, which is a non-kosher species. If our Gemara is considering it shloi kederach achila, at kedei kach, that it's considered shloi kederach achila, that you don't make a bracha on it, so maybe it's not considered a food. And if it's not considered a food, the halacha macholos asuris would not apply. Which opens up a question. Clearly, in those days, it was their custom not to eat food, not to eat olive oil straight. The question is that there are people that eat now olive oil. What would be the halacha b'zman hazeh if somebody takes olive oil? So I saw there's a sefer called Kitzer v'Shulchan Aruch, written by Rabbi Fall Baruch Toledanu. He says, "Bezman hazeh, that since people eat straight olive oil, the bracha you should make on it is bari priyets." Rabbi Vadi Yosef and the Shals of Tshuvas Yabia Oimer Chelik Vav Oirachayim Simen Mem Ches Oisvav says that once our Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Chaya Adam and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch all say our Gemara that we don't make a bracha on straight olive oil. It's not considered something that we eat. So therefore, he says, we should make a bracha by pre-eats of some, even if somebody nowadays comfortably eats or drinks olive oil. The question that now comes up is if the Gemara speaks about something that's eaten as l'refuah, and what's the halacha of a bracha on something that is eaten l'refuah? So Tosfos, Kivan de Islay, the second Tosfos in our Amud says, V'nira advarim, dem adam shoysa mashkim, somebody's drinking fluids, im mashkim haroim lishtes, and they're not enjoyable liquids. The leslay hanomino, you have no anor from it, loy bray brocha. V'yislay hanomine, b'loy refua. So Tosfos is saying that if you're taking something as a medicine, and it's not, and it's bitter tasting, you don't make a bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman goes a step further. He says, our Gemara that says you make the bracha when you consume a nigrin, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, because a nigrin is a regular food. Just in our Gemara, it also contains olive oil. And like we're saying, maybe you put in a lot of olive oil, because that's the way you're going to have a refuah. And that's why, since a negrin is a regular food, you make a bracha. But let's say somebody, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, takes a medicine which he would never eat under ordinary circumstances, unless he was ill, he doesn't make a bracha on it, even if it has a pleasant taste. That's the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman. I did, however, see that there are poskim that disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman. And they say that if you're taking a pleasant tasting medicine, then even though the only reason you're taking it is because you need it as a medicine, but since it's pleasant tasting, you should make a bracha. Similarly, the Ra discusses a situation that if somebody was coerced to eat a food, he doesn't make a bracha, even though he enjoys what he's swallowing. Because you don't make a bracha for something that you didn't want to eat. Or if somebody, he says, has no appetite and he was forced to eat certain foods because otherwise he won't survive, he says he doesn't make a bracha because something that it's considered that you were forced to eat, and somebody who was forced to eat doesn't make a bracha. However, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch says that, he quotes the Rosh, who says that a person should make a bracha even on food that he's compelled to eat due to an illness, and even if it's not kosher food. We spoke about this yesterday. However, says the Magen Avraham, that if the sick person is repulsed by the non-kosher food, he knows it's non-kosher, it's Yom Kippur, and he mamish doesn't want to eat, or it's something really non-kosher, which he really, really doesn't want to eat, suggests the Magen Avraham, something that you're repulsed by, you can't make a bracha. However, I did see that the Paiskim say it could be that this discussion that we're now mentioning is only regarding the bracha rishayna. For as we have learned in our Masechta, the bracha rishayna is a derabbanan. But let's say somebody ate food which he really doesn't enjoy, but he's now full by eating that food. So now there's a chiv, and there's a situation where it would be something you would bench on. So there's a chiv deraisa, benching, because of a chalt of a savata of a rachta, and therefore perhaps suggest the paiskim. So now we're dealing with a deraisa, and by deraisa we have to be stricter and make the bracha achrayinim. Another very interesting kasha, interesting shaila. If somebody is eating a food which he's not supposed to eat, he's a diabetic, and he's not supposed to eat cake, and he's eating a piece of cake, does he make a bracha on such a food? So the Sefer Chashuki Chemet says that, from Yitzhak Zilberstein Shlita, says that he asked this question of his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, and Rabbi Yoshev told him that he should make a bracha rishayna and not a bracha achroina. And he says a very interesting svara. A bracha achroina you can't make, because how could you make a bracha on something which is iser, which you weren't supposed to eat? And as we discussed in a previous shiur, there's a chiv of shmartim oidla nafshaseichem. And therefore, food that you ate, as the Gemara teaches us later in our Masechta, that if you ate food that you got by Avera, ain't zem avarech elamanatz. That's considered cursing Hashem. But says Rebbe Yashiv, a bracha rishayna you do make. Because the first crumb of cake, we know that to make a bracha rishayna, we make a bracha rishayna even on the most minimum amount. The first crumb that this diabetic ate of the cake, which he shouldn't have eaten, but that won't make him sick. And therefore, he didn't do anything wrong with eating that piece of cake. And therefore, you should make a bracha. And there's a raya. Al Gemara says that on shemen zayis, you don't make a bracha, because it's a mazik. So Al Gemara is clearly indicating that when don't you make a bracha? When something is a mazik. But if something is not a mazik, there is no problem of making a bracha. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshua says, make a bracha rishayna even on a piece of cake, even though you're diabetic, but don't make the bracha achrayna. Begins the Gemara. Kim chedachiti, if somebody has flour made out of wheat, and Rashi seems to say that our Gemara is speaking about regular wheat flour. Tosfos and the Rosh say that regular flour is not edible, and it's barely edible, and therefore you certainly would not make on it anything more than a shahakal. We're talking over here that a flour, it's a toasted flour, which is somewhat more edible. So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bari Pri Adama. Rabbi Yehuda says that you make a Bari Pri Adama. Rav Nachman Omer Shahakal Ni'abidvari. And Rav Nachman's opinion is that you make a shahakal niyabidvari. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, like tifkalei Rabbi Yehuda. Don't argue with Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yochanan v'Shmuel kaimikav say, because wrote Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel agree with him. Dam Rabbi Yehuda v'Shmuel v'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shemus mezayis when it comes to Shemen Zayis, Mevarchan Labar Priyates. Alma, Afagav de Ishtani, it was switched from a solid to a liquid, B'milsakei, it still make a Bar Priyates. Hachanami, here too, Afagav de Ishtani, you took the wheat and you ground it into a flour, B'milsakei, it stays with its original bracha, and therefore you make on it a Bari Pri Adama, says the Gemara. Midami, Hossam, the only thing you could do with olives is to squeeze them, to make them into olive oil. And therefore, less like Ola Achrina, there's no other better or different improvement. So of course, if you take the olives and you do what they're most, you're supposed to do with them, you're supposed to make them into olive oil, that's why you make the Bari Priyas, Pre-08s. Hocha, but with flour, what you're really supposed to do, you're supposed to turn the flour, Isla Khrina Bapas. And maybe until you made it into pass, the halacha will be that you don't make a bayre pre-adam, you only make a shakel. Says the Gemara, V'chiesle Eloi Achrina, just because it has a other or better improvement, Lama Vachina le bayre pre-adam, we don't make a bayre pre-adam, we only make a shakel. Is that true? Ask the Gemara of Amar Abzeir, Amar Abmasta, Amar Shmuel, Akarachaya, on a raw pumpkin, the Kimcha Desari, and on barley flour, Mevarchin and Allah, Shakal Nibidvari. We make a Shakal Nibidvari. So doesn't it seem that they're talking specifically about barley flour? Barley flour, since it's really no good, or vegetables, which are meant to be cooked, they were not meant to be eaten raw. That's why you make a shahakal. But it seems that on wheat flour, even though it's just flour, it seems that you would not just make a shahakal. And before we go further here, we have to discuss what is the halacha of vegetables. So, says the Magen Avraham, in Siman Reish Hey, Sif Katan Gimel, if you have a vegetable which can be eaten raw or cooked, and even if it's a vegetable that's better normally to be eaten cooked, but since it's perfectly fine to eat it raw, you make a Bari Pri Adama. It seems that not all the Paiskim agree with that. And they say if you have a vegetable that's better cooked than raw, so only when you eat it cooked do you make a Bari Pri Adama. But if you eat it raw, you would make maybe shahakal. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what this was meant to teach us. The achiti nami, that even if you have flour made out of wheat, you would make a shahakal nibidvari. Says the Gemara, if that's what it means to teach us, v'lishiminen, the chitin, why don't we tell us the halacha, that even though wheat flour, which of course is superior to barley flour, If you're eating it as in the flour state, you make shahakal nibidvaroi. So certainly, the kolshke the sari, which is always inferior, you would make a shahakal. Answers the Gemara, I'll tell you why we had to speak specifically about barley. Because Iyashmin and Chitin, if they would have spoken about Chitin, have min hanimili the Chitin. Chitin, wheat flour, as we discussed earlier, is not really that great, but it is somewhat edible. So that's why you make a shahakal. Aval desari, maybe when you start with barley, which is inferior, as we said, and you're eating raw barley flour, maybe like levarach ala klal, you shouldn't make a bracha on it at all. Kamash malan. Says the Gemara, how can we have a havamina not to make a bracha? Umim gara, is it any worse than melech, than salt, or zomis brine? The Tanan that we're going to learn, ala melech, vala zomis, even on salt and brine, oim a shahakal nebidvaroi. So what's the havamina that you shouldn't at least have to make a shahakal? Answers the Gemara, itzrach. We would think that this is different. Kusal kadat chamina, melech vazomit, zomis, ovid inish the shadil pomei. Sometimes people put salt the brine into the mouth. They want something salty. Ava kimcha desari, when it comes to barley flour, hoil v'kosh l'kukiyani, that could cause stomach worms, maybe loy l'varach l'klal, kamash melon, kivin de'islei ha'nominei, boy bruchi. And the way that we explained is very gishmak. Even though they're not good and they could cause this problem with the stomach, but it's not a mazik. On something which is a mazik, like the olive oil, you don't make a bracha. On something which is just not so great, there you can make a bracha. And that's the raya, maybe to Rabbi Yoshev, that you can make a bracha on the little piece of cake for a diabetic. It may not be great, but it's not a mazik. Kaira. So the Gemara now begins to talk about the palm. A palm tree, as the branches of the palm tree grow each year, the new growth is soft and edible. By the following year, it's hard, like wood. That's called the kaira. And this, of course, opens up a very important question, because there are many people that eat hearts of palm. And that's exactly what hearts of palm are. And the question is, what is the halacha on the hearts of palm? It's part of the tree, but it's soft. And what bracha would you make on it? Because our Gemara clearly says, Rav Yudah Mibari Pri Adama, and Shmuel HaMashakal Nei B'dvaroi, and Rav Yudah Mibari Pri Adama, because Perihu, it's considered a fruit of the tree. V'Shmuel HaMashakal Nei B'dvaroi, since it's going to get hard, therefore, it's already not considered a fruit. So here, what's going to be the halacha on the bracha on the hearts of palm? So the Sefer Zoysa Bracha says that since in Brazil, where they have many of these palm trees, and they plant the palm trees particularly for the purpose of eating the hearts of palm, even though if the part, even though they're going to be left there, they're going to get hard. Everybody agrees that that's the that was why a tree was planted, and everybody agrees that you should make a bore pre hadama. But the question is, why do you make a bore pre hadama? Why don't you make a bore pre eitz? It's a tree. The answer is because it's not a pre eitz. It's not a fruit of the tree. It's the tree itself. When do we make a bari prio eitz? When we eat the fruit of a tree. Here we're not eating the fruit of the tree. It's the tree itself. And when it's the tree itself, you make a bari pri ho'adama. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana. He used to call him Shinana for two reasons. Either because he was very sharp or because he had sharp teeth. Kavasach mestabro. Your psak makes sense. Datsnoim. Let's think about radishes. Soifel ha'akshes. When they get mature, they get very hard. Yet, when you eat a radish, when it's still nice and soft, you make a bari pri adama. Says the Gemara V'loyhi. Tznoin, not the incha data de pugla. People plant radishes to eat them when they're still soft. So that's why it's considered a vegetable that you should make a bari pri adama. However, dikla, the incha data de karo. People don't plant palm trees in order to eat the tree. They plant it to eat the fruit. And therefore, you shouldn't make a bracha. Says the Gemara, is that true? If that was not your intent when you planted the tree, you don't make the bracha. Very tzlaf. And now the Gemara is going to begin to discuss the tzlaf. The tzlaf is a caper bush, and the caper bush has many different parts to it. It has three types of fruit. The tamaris, the avionis, and the kafrisin. The avionis are the fruit of the tree. The kafrisin are the peel around the avionis, and they fall off before the avionis ripen. And there's another type of fruit, and that's called the tamaris. And there are leaves on this caper bush that are also edible. V'tanan, al-minei etzpa, on the different produce that come off the caper bush, al-alan v'al-tamaris, on the leaves, and al-tamaris, oimer peri pri adama. V'al-avyoinis, and the kafrisa, which are the actual fruit, oimer peri pri eitz. So we see that you make a hadama on the leaves, even though they're just like the tree, and you still make a peri pri adama. Answers the Gemara, Amram Nachman Yitzchak Tzlaf, when it comes to the caper bush, not the inchadata de shusa. People intend to eat everything that grows from it. And therefore, the leaves were something that you intended to eat. It's like the hearts of palm we discussed. Dikla, however, palm tree, in those days, loy not the inchadata de kaira, they didn't plant the tree with the intention of eating the actual soft tree, and therefore you don't make a, you only make a shakal. Vavgav the kasa Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, even though Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda for his psak, helchasik of asay the Shmuel that you make a shakal on the palm. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, tzlaf sha'orlo b'chutz laretz. So when it comes to arlo, first of all, what is the halacha of arlo? Arlo is that all fruits, the first 3 years, are also b'hanop, but there's a difference in different locales regarding arlo. Eretz Yisrael, arlo is a schi of deraisa, it's a very serious halacha. In chutz laretz, arlo is also asur, but suffolk arlo is mutan chutz laretz. And there are two explanations in Rishonim why. One explanation is because Arla and Chutz Laretz is a Drabonon, and we have a rule that we discussed numerous times, Safik Drabonon Lakula. Another reason is that the halacha of Arla and Chutz Laretz is a halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, and the halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai was said that in Chutz Laretz, Arla applies, but it only applies when it's certain Arla, not Safik Arla. So it says, Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Tzlaf Shel Arla, the bush of Arla and Chutz Laretz, Zorikas of Yonis, you have to throw away the berries, because Arla, as we just said, applies in Chutz Laretz. Voichel, that's a kafrisin. What does that seem to say? Lememri, the Avyonis peri. The Avyonis are considered a fruit, and therefore the din of Arla applies to them. The kafrisin, la peri, are not considered a fruit, and therefore the halacha of Arla doesn't apply to them. Vermini asked the Gemara, well, we just learned the brisa, almine nitzpa, on the different types of produce from the caper, al olim v'al tamaris omri bari pri adama, al avyoyis v'al kafrisim omri bari pri eitz. So the fact that we say bari pri eitz, isn't that clearly a raya, that it is a fruit? Answers the Gemara, hu dama kura b'kiva. This shita follows Rabbi Kiva. Nan, Rabbi Leza omer, tzlaf mis'aser, when you have to take off tzlaf, you have to take off Meiser from the Tamaris of Yonis of Kfirisim, because they're all considered fruit that you have to take Meiser from. Rekiva Oimer, Amos Asa El of Yonis Bovad. You only take off Meiser from the Avyonis. They're the only fruit produce of the Tzlaf, the Neshu Peri, says the Gemara. So if that's the opinion you're following, the name Alok Rebekiva. So just say that the Alok follows Rebekiva, answers the Gemara. If we just say Aloch Shabakiva, have a mina, a filo be'aretz, that even in Eretz Yisrael, there is no chiv meiser from the Tamaris and the Kafrisin. Kamash Malon. The reason why we're being lenient is because Kala Mekel be'aretz, that when it comes to Arla, the most lenient opinion that applies in Eretz Yisrael, Halach Kamash B'chutz Laretz. That's the opinion we pick for Chutz Laretz, because as we explained earlier, the halacha of Arla and Chutz Laretz is much more lenient. Al Ba'aretz, and that's Yisrael, we would not follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So if we were to say halacha Rabbi Kiva, we would maybe make a mistake and think that we should pass like Rabbi Kiva even in Chutz Laretz, even in that's Yisrael. So says the Gemara, if you want to avoid making such a mistake, for name halacha Rabbi Kiva b'Chutz Laretz. So just say that the halacha Rabbi Kiva, but only in Chutz Laretz, because of the reason that we gave. The Kala Mekel Ba'aretz, Halach Kamaisa B'Chutz Laretz, answers the Gemara, Iyamahachi, if we would say this, Havamina Gabi Maisa Ilon. I would say by Ilon, by Maisa of Ilon, the Ba'aretz Gufa Midrabonim. And as a Machloikish, how to learn this Gemara. Some say because Midraisa only Goyrin, Dogon, Tirosh, V'Yitzer, grain, wine, and oil have a Chiv of Maisa Midra Aisa. Everything else is only Midra Rabbanan. Others want to say a different explanation what the Gemara means here. That Maiser is not limited only to Maiser is not only limited to Dog and Tirish V'Yitzer. The Maiser applies to other fruits as well, but here we're talking about after the Churban. And after the Churban, the entire chi of a Meiser is only the Rabbonim. Avga ba'orla, the Baratz Medarai Sa'im v'chutz Laretz Nami Nigzer, Kamash Malon. Says the Gemara, Ravina Ashkelema Baravashi, the Kazark of Yoynis, He threw away the Orla of Orla of Yoinis, the Koch Kafrisin. Amalei. So he asked the Maidatach, why are you doing this? Obviously, because you're following the opinion of Rekiva, that's Mekel. So if you want, and in, as we're learning, in Chutz Laaretz, we always follow the lenient opinion. So he asked him, if you want to follow the lenient opinion, I'll find you even a more lenient opinion. The opinion of Beis Shammai, the Tanan Tzlaf. When I talk about caper, Beis Shammai Amrim, Klaim Bekerim. We have to treat it maybe like a vegetable. And the halach is, you can't plant grain or vegetables in a vineyard, but you can plant fruit trees in a vineyard. Beis Shammai consider the caper bush as a vegetable, and therefore, it's klayim in a vineyard. Beselolim and klayim bekerim, they're not considered klayim because they're a tree. And trees, you could plant any type of tree in a vineyard. Eilav eilam moidim, shechayi ba'orl. But everybody agrees that orl applies to them. So first, ask the Gemara question. Hagufa kasha. Amrit slap beshamayim klayim bekerim. The beshamayim says you can't plant capers in a vineyard. Because Alma, it's obvious the Beis Shammai's opinion is that slaf is considered minyerik. It's a type of a vegetable. Now, orla only applies by trees. Alma min ilanhu, says the Gemara Holei Kasha. Beis Shammai is sfukim esapkla. Beis Shammai just wasn't sure. And they weren't sure if it's a tree, it's a fruit, or a vegetable. And therefore, of the hachal chumra, hachal chumra. However, mikam makam, le Beis Shammai have le safik orla. According to Beis Shammai, tzlaf may be a vegetable. And as we just explained, there are no din of orla on vegetables. But tanan, sofik orla, when you have a situation of a sofik orla, as we described earlier, Beretz Yisrael, we have to be machmer. B'surya mutter. What does it mean, b'surya mutter? Surya was an area where there was a kibush yochid. It wasn't conquered either by all of the Jews, only by David HaMelech is one pshat. Another pshat, it was conquered before all of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. So it has an intermediate state. It's not considered like Eretz Yisrael, but it's not considered like Chutz Laaretz. So if you see somebody picking orla fruit, you may not eat it. But if you didn't see anything, you could eat it. But Chutz Laaretz, Yoyrid, in Chutz Laaretz, you could go down to a field, and buy fruit from the non-Jewish owner, even though you know he has orla, as long as you didn't see him do it. So, if it's a vegetable, and we're always following the leaning opinion in Chutz Laaretz, so of course, there should be no problem of orla in any part of the tzlaf, answers the Gemara. Rebbe Akiva b'makom Rebbe Elazar, when we have a machlokes Rebbe Akiva Rebbe Elazar, so they're both legitimate opinions. And therefore, avdin kavasei, if Rebbe Akiva is the more lenient opinion, when it comes to Arla, we follow the more lenient opinion. Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai's opinion doesn't count. So it's not that an opinion that we should take into consideration. But ask the Gemara, how can we eat the husks of the tzlaf? But we have a new problem. The Hebrew, like the Nasa Shayim Lepri, v'rechmona Omer, v'ra'atem alosas period. What does the Torah want to teach us with the word S? To teach us how tofel leperi, the part that's secondary to the fruit. What does that mean? Shayim leperi. So why is there no din orlo on that part? Amarova, hech amrin the nasa shayim leperi. When do we see something that's considered a shayim leperi? Hech the isa bein betolosh bein b'mechubar. When it's there, both when it's on the fruit is detached, and when the fruit is attached to the tree. Hocha, when we speak about these husks, b'mechobe isa b'talosh lasei, says the Gemara, Eisvei Abaya pitma shel rimon, the pitum, the stem on top of the rimon of the pomegranate, mitzarefes. A food does not have the ability to transfer tumma unless it's the size of a kebaya. So if you want to measure, do you have the size of a kebaya? The pitma combines to that shear. The netshalo, but the nets which grows is like a covering around that pitim, emet starf. Midakam a netshalo emet starf, amadalai oichelhu. It's not considered a fruit. But tanan gabe orlo, klip irim v'anetshloi, klip egoiz v'arim yonim, chayovim ba'arlo. Now, the net falls off. And we said that if it falls off, it's not considered a shomer. So why is the hilchos arlo apply? El amar Rava. When do we say that it's considered a shomer to the peri? If it's there when the fruit ripens. High kafris, when we speak about the kafris around the tzlaf, it's not even there, b'shaskimei peri. And therefore, it's not considered a shomer. Eini, ask the Gemara. V'amar of Nachman, amar of Avavua, hani maskli the arlo, these maskala, which again are like a nets around the dates, asiri, however nasu, shomer l'peri, because there is a shomer to the peri. V'shomer l'peri emes hava, when is it there? B'kufra, only at the early state of the date's development. And yet, says the Gemara, Kakara le Shomer l'peri, answers the Gemara, Rav Nachman Sovel k'Rav Yosi. He says, Rav Nachman follows the opinion of Rav Yosi, the Tanan, Rav Yosi, I'm a smother, a small grape, when it's just a bud, has the din of Arla, Neshu Peri. So, even though it's there when it's immature, but his opinion is that an immature fruit is already a fruit. And therefore, the shomer of that fruit is going to be considered a full-fledged shomer. Well, please, Rabbanan lay, but the Rabbanan disagree, and they hold that the something that's not there when the fruit matures is not considered a shomer. Maskelo, Rav Simi Ma'ado, v'shah aloni mi'prigi Rabbanan lay. Do the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Yossi? They only argue by the grape, but tonight, the halacha is that you're not allowed to destroy, you're not allowed to cut in the Shemitah year trees. The only thing you're allowed to do with produce that grows in the Shemitah year, you may eat the fruit, but you may not cut the tree. Because when you cut the tree, you're destroying the fruit that's on them, and you're not allowed to destroy Shemitah prayers. So, at what point is it considered a fruit tree that you're not allowed to cut it? As soon as they start putting out any fruit. From when they start looking like chains. We'll see that soon. We'll see that as well. That when they start putting out the nets. When they put out fruit. Who buys a who gerei who pull a loven? So as the Gemara pull a loven, seikel daitach pull a loven is a bean. We're talking about fruits. Alei meshiuru could pull a loven. When is it considered boiser gerua? When it's the size of pull a loven. Now the Gemara makes its point. Man shamalei the boiser in that has to be the size of boiser to be considered a fruit. But if it's only the size of smadar, it's not considered a fruit. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, when it's as small as a smadar, it's already considered a fruit. And it says here, v'shah v'ktani, yet the Mishnah says, shah kalilonis, all other trees can't be cut during the Shemitah year when they give out fruit. And that would be considered destroying Shemitah fruit. So we see as far as grapes and caribs, that's where the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi. But with all other fruits, they agree with Rabbi Yossi that an immature fruit is still considered a fruit. So how do you say that it's not considered, that the kafrisin are not considered a shomer to the peri because they're not there when the tree fruit ripens? A fruit, says Al Gemara, is considered a fruit as soon as it starts to grow. El Amarina, Rapapa, El Amarova, Hey Chamrin Dav Shomer l'peri. When is something considered a shomer l'peri? Hech de kishak del shomer, if you take off the shomer, mayis peri, the pri would die. Hech de kishak del shomer, here when you take it off, lo mayis peri, and that's why the kafrisin are not considered a shomer. Hava ovda, and there was in fact an episode, v'shakluo del netz de remoina, they took off the nets around the pomegranate, v'yavish remoina, v'shulchel l'pircha de petisa, but they took off the kafrisin of the tzlaf v'kayim petisa, and that's why it's not considered a shomer. Taisus asks a question. Taisus asks that Al Gemara says you're not allowed to cut off the tree because you have a problem of shemitah. Ask Taisus, there's a halacha, there's a din in the Torah, like Sasha says Eitzah, that you're never allowed to cut down a fruit tree. So what, there's this about Tashchis. So why do we have to come on to Shemitah? So Taisus answers that there's certain times you're allowed to cut down a tree. If the tree doesn't give out enough fruit, or if the wood of the tree there is no, is more valuable than the fruit. So then there's no Isser of Loisashchis as Eitzah, but there's still an Isser of Shemitah. Another teretz that the Meiri suggests, that if you cut off only the branches, you're not violating Loisashchis as Eitzah. But if you cut off the branches, you are violating the Shemitah Isser. There's a tshuva from the Chabina Rav, and the Shas Tshuva is David Misharim, Chelik Beis, Simon Men Beis. If you cut just part of the tree, is it considered that you're violating Lo Sashchus Eitzah? And it seems that the fact that Taisus doesn't give that teretz, so it seems that even if you cut off part of the tree, if there's no constructive purpose for cutting off that part of the tree, even though you didn't cut off the entire tree, you may be iser, you may be violating the iser of Lysashchus Eitzah. We've also discussed in this Gemara at length the halacha of peels of fruit. So the Mishnah Brura says that what's the halacha if you have peels of an orange, that they make some sort of a confection with it, they put it into honey. So Mishnah Brura says the bracha on it should be a shahakel, but he says, but the evid, if you made a bari pri eitz or a bari pri adama, you were yaitza. Says the Gemara Pilpili, regarding pepper berries, Rashesh Sama shahakel, you make a shahakel, Rava Malay Klum, Vaz the Rava Tamei, Dama Rava, Kos Pilpili Biyam Kippurim, if you chew pepper berries on Yom Kippur, you're potter, it's not considered a food. Kos zangbala, if you chew and swallow ginger on Yom Kippur, you're also potter. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Hayramei Oimer, Mimash Mishnem Valtem, Arlos Ayas Periyoi, Eni Yadesh Eitz Machalhu. The Torah speaks about Varaltem Arlos Ayas Periyoi. Why does the Torah have to tell us that it's an Eitz Machal? Amal Tam Lam Eitz Machal. What does the Torah want to teach us with the words Eitz Machal, to teach us lovi eight shetam eight soya period shava, to teach us that even on a fruit, that even on something where the fruit, where the taste of the wood and the taste of the fruit is the same, the din of arla applies. Ezuzah pelplin lamdcha shapelplin chayovin ba'arla. Well, lamdcha she Eretz Yisrael chaser klum. Eretz Yisrael is not missing anything. Shenemar. So we see that it's considered a fruit and it's edible and oil applies to it. So why are you allowed to eat it on Yom Kippur? Like Kasha Habrit Tifta. When is it considered a food? When it's moist. Habi Yavishta, when it's dry, it's inedible. Amalei Rabbanan L'Armeima. Kasan Gvil B'Yom Kippurah. If you ate ginger on Yom Kippur, you potter. For Rava, asking Rav Amar Rava, "Hi, Hamlata Asime Hindu, this fruit that came from Hindu Sharya, Mavarchan like Bar Priyadama, and that was ginger. So we see that they made some sort of a food out of ginger, and there's no problem of Bishal Akam because it's you could eat it when it's raw, and there's also no problem that it's cooked in their pots because as the Paiskim explain, they never used a pot. They had special pots, special utensils, which were used for this food because it would ruin the taste in the pot if you cooked it in the pot. If you cooked ginger in a pot and then you used the pot for anything else, whatever you cooked would have the ginger taste. So you could use it even though it came from the Akum. But so it's clear that they ate ginger. So how could you say that there's no Arla? Says the Gemara, the same teretz. Lo kasha. Habra tifta. Moist ginger is edible, and it's orla, and you can't eat it on Yom Kippur, obviously. Habi yavesta, when it's dried out, there it's not considered a food. I saw a beautiful vart when the Gemara here goes into explaining that pepper is something that's chai ba'orla, and then the Gemara says, and it's Yisrael chaser klum. So I saw that the Sefer Labas Eish explains from the Ozhar of a Rebbe. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the din of Orla, says the Zohar, because we remember in Parshas Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the tree to give out fruit, tam etzoy peri yoshava, that the fruit of the tree and the tree should have the same taste, but they didn't do it. And therefore, they were punished that there's a din of Issa Orla. But here in our Gemara is teaching us that pilpulin does have that characteristic of tam etzav a tam period shavai. So why is pilpulin subject to orla? It must be to teach us, because we don't want to separate from the pilpulin tree and all other trees. L'amdecha, shen eretz Yisrael, he says, chaser klum. Eretz Yisrael has pilpulin. And really, orla ought not to apply to pilpulin. But we want to have klum. We want to have everybody the same way. And therefore, the pilpulin is also subject to orla.